Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 24th day of November. Good morning, Decker!
Morning!
And a good morning to everybody out there off the Supernatural Highway in Conyers.
Yeah.
Off I-20 out there. I have come to the conclusion that I can speak for me and the west side of town. I can't speak for the north, the east, or the south, but I think the best visual of the city of Atlanta is coming in I-20 right at Riverside. I mean, I got it pinpoint.
Right at Six Flags. Six Flags.
Well, no, it's not the Six Flags. It's Riverside. That's the exit if you're coming, if you're traveling east on I-20. Out there. So when I come into town, because I actually noted it, because the Six
Flags
exit. Right
up Thornton Road.
From Thornton Road, I get on there. But at the Riverside exit, going eastbound on 20, which is the one that you would take to Six Flags, it is on a clear day.
It's elevated.
It's elevated. And there's no trees blocking anything. A little bit. It is the best view of the city.
Yeah.
Now, I can't speak for coming in from the east side. You know, there's some from the north side that are pretty cool, but then the buildings are kind of lined up.
Right, right.
So you don't get them all. You get them all lined up like east to west, man. So I just want to say that.
I'm glad we played that theme. I'm still getting used to seeing Ohio State and folk like that in Minnesota rather than the SEC, but that's what CBS did.
And it's the changing nature of it. And it got me thinking about, I knew I forgot something.
Uh-oh.
I have to tell this story that I teased earlier in the show. I won't do it now. I'll do it later on before we get out of here. My story of the week. Started the show with our story of the week talk, and mine was that Inside the NBA is going to stay, but ESPN picked them up. So moving forward, Charles and Kenny and Shaq and Ernie Johnson will be a part of ESPN's NBA coverage.
Yep.
And then I, by extension, reminded me of a story because this network, this particular show, got taken by another network, and it reminded me of what happened years ago with Al Michaels. And when ABC lost Sunday Night Football and got Monday Night Football back, and then NBC got Sunday Night Football, but there was a whole sort of reshaking of the talent and everything like that, and something happened. And my analogy was something I was going to talk about during the casting call, but I didn't. But I will do it before the end of this hour because Al Michaels was traded, and I don't know a lot of people that know that.
Yeah.
But it's what happened and why it happened is kind of a cool story. But listen, let's get back into this as you're talking college football. And also reminded me, when you mentioned Ohio State, yesterday with game day being at in Columbus at the Horseshoe, whatever, for that game against, of all teams, Indiana.
Yeah.
But that's where they were at. Not next week for Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah.
They're going to be there for Indiana,
that's this different kind of year for college football. Indiana was the undefeated team. Two unbeatens, beaten for the first time yesterday. Both Indiana and Army were beaten for the first time yesterday.
But the funny thing is, and we're going to get into Georgia and all the other ones, is so I'm watching, again, that's one of my new favorite shows. But, you know, all those guys get fed. When that game day show goes wherever, like last week here in Athens, they brought a bunch of food out. And during the show, they're brought a ton of food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't notice if Herb Street did this when they were at the Big House. But Desmond, when they brought out all the food from Columbus, Ohio to eat, Desmond Howard bent down and picked up a brown bag and he started eating his own stuff that he brought. Because he not eating as a Michigan alum, he not eating nothing from Ohio State.
He will not do it.
Nope, he wouldn't do it. So he was sitting there brown bagging it with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He had an apple. He had some other stuff. And they were looking at him and go, Desmond, how come? He goes, no, y'all know.
You already know. No, don't ask me.
Not even doing it.
So don't ask me. Don't ask me.
It was just kind of funny. I don't know if that's the real reason why, but it makes for a good story.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
What are we to think about these teams that are actually having a conversation out loud, Sam, about wondering whether or not they want to be a part of a conference championship game?
There's some teams that would love to be a part of a conference championship game. You know, but some, if it's going to mean being in or out of the playoffs, being in the conference championship game, so, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
We will let somebody else go and do that. We'll just go ahead and get ready to pack our bags and hit the road and go where we have to go as long as we make it in. And I think that's something, but you know, a lot of teams had some thoughts about. Now, with some losses last night, how does that fit into the equation? We're talking about with Ole Miss having a loss. We're talking about with Alabama having a loss. And some people feel like those losses put them out of the picture totally right now. And so you're curious to see what happens because they still got football to play.
Yeah, they do.
They still got their rivalry games. You know, Mississippi still got Mississippi State. Alabama still has Auburn. And the teams that are above them still have games to play. Texas is playing Texas A&M for the first time since Hex was a bullfrog.
Like, really?
Right? You know what I mean? So they're playing that game this week, right? We ain't seen that in a minute. So, I mean, there's all kind of things that can happen here, mm-hmm. you know, that can still with a week to go.
You said something earlier that you thought that whatever the situation was in that Alabama game, they wouldn't have made that call. They wouldn't have done what they did if Nick Saban was still on the sidelines.
I'm talking about the officials and the touchdown that was taken away from Alabama.
I got no problem with that because we know, and especially Georgia Bulldog fans, and I'm not saying it for that reason, but Bulldog fans will say this. When you talk about this craziness and the moving landscape of college football now, for 12 teams, we saw the Bulldogs get whatever word you want to use after participating in that conference championship game, losing, but yet then watching Alabama slide up in there behind them, and then they end up winning a national championship. So, again, I don't trust nothing when it comes to college football. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it was back to the four teams, whether it was the BCS, whether it's these 12 teams. You got a guy who should be celebrating a three-peat in Kirby Smart, but yet he had that taken away from him, but yet still the gold standard in this sport. Shaking his head going, I don't know what them folks are looking for.
But also, you talk about the strength of schedule. Georgia don't have that problem. Last season was the strength of schedule. Everybody looked at them like, who they winning, but who are they beating? They don't have that problem this year, right? You're right. And we figured it was going to be a more challenging schedule for them, and it has been. So that's not something that you would think about as far as Georgia as last season. But you want to get them to the conference championship game. The thing is, if they're locked in, who is the next team that will get there with them? And so that became a big question. Is it still Texas going to be there? Is the winner of the Texas A&M game?
Mm-hmm.
Some people wonder about that. So that's what we watch for as far as that goes. Tennessee, they still got a shot to get in there. You know, we have to see because you got three teams with two conference losses. Along with Georgia, you got Tennessee and you got Texas A&M. So we'll see.
Now, depending on what happens with – they lost yesterday. Colorado's in for a bowl game.
They're in for a bowl game. They still have a chance to get to the conference championship game. Some other things have to happen for them to get there.
But for them
to go and lose to Kansas, and here's the thing. Kansas has won three straight games against ranked teams, mm-hmm. and they ain't going nowhere.
No, they're not.
They ain't going to the Salad Bowl, man. I mean, which tells you something else about this year, unless they were college football. Mm-hmm. Even a team like that. as talented as they look, and to beat some teams that are going to bowl games and are in the conversation, they're out of the picture. You know, it talks about how the talent has been, you know, distributed or redistributed, whatever, around college football, and that's what we're looking at.
Did you, and I don't know if they'll come up with this name or another type of name, but, you know, we've used certain names to describe certain periods in different sports. It was the dead ball era in baseball. Would you call this the transfer portal era in college football?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
how long will it last?
This is going to go on for a minute. This is going to go on for a while because it's a game changer. And if you can either throw the money or you can get a good group in and retain them, what's happened to Tech, and we're going to dive into Tech here in a moment. You know, it gets you to the point where you have a chance. It levels the playing field just a bit and allows you to be creative. You may not have the big bank. Or we talk about how the teams out in Texas and Texas A&M got the biggest checkbooks of anybody, but you still got people beating them. You still got people, you know, out there playing and contending with them. So I mean, if you can
right now, Sam, you got a league. It's almost like the five families in New York, where you got the conference champion, who are the guys? Stanky and all those guys,
the conference
commissioners are really running the sport right now because the NCAA is toothless. They're still trying to figure out a way to go after Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Moving forward as we live in this, this is what I'm getting at, in this transfer portal era, there at some point has to be a respected governing body. And if it's not going to be the NCAA, and by the way, we've seen this happen before. College sports went from the AAU to the NCAA. So what will be next that will be respected for them to, because you got to pull the reins in. As you said, there's money flying all over the place. You got people jumping all left and right. And this can't continue as is.
Not long term.
But there's got to be an arrowhead that can have the respect of these conference commissioners that will all come to some sort of agreement. And by the way, what are y'all going to do with that Pac-2?
Until they're able to reconstitute that and rebuild it or restore it, if they're going to do that. But right now we got the four conferences, and that's what we got. And right now we got a thing with Georgia. They're in good shape, but Tech is willing to play the role of spoiler. And Tech now at 5-3 in the conference. They can't get into the conference championship game as far as the ACC goes. But at 7-4, they're in good position to try to play a role of a spoiler for Georgia. We got a little something here. Let's take a look at them getting the pick six in the game on Thursday night.
When that happened, they've lined up every wide offensive lineman as a wide receiver. That'd be fun. Ball's on the ground. Recovered by Georgia Tech. They're going to score. E.J. Lightsey.
That thanks to ESPN. And obviously, Thursday night, first of all, is fun to have college football on Thursday night. Can I tell you, I like college football on Thursday night.
You love it.
I love college football on Thursday night. The backdrop, you light up the lights and light up downtown Atlanta. It looked fantastic. And a game that went right down to the wire, and a freshman quarterback is out there leading this team to a big win that everyone's watching. And a dramatic finish. Let's see if we got one of the run. Got the run by Aaron Filo that gets him into the game winner.
Again, pressure. Middle of the field. There goes Filo. Touchdown, Tech.
Aaron Filo. We talk about a guy that this time last year was playing quarterback over in Athens, the high school at Prince Avenue. Christian, and here he is being thrust. I mean, he has to. I mean, and we saw him get to play against Miami. He was part of that win that knocked off Miami. You know, Haynes King is the guy over there, but he's been banged up. He started the game, and he came out, and so we started seeing more of Filo, and Filo just took most of the game. He was there, guiding the team. NC State, give them credit. People expected a lot from NC State when the season began.
Yeah, they did.
And we saw why in this game. They don't quit. Those guys refused to quit, and they came back and took the lead late in the game, but they left a minute and a half on the board, man. A minute and a half, and one timeout. And the kid brings them up the field, and they get the win. Coach Key, let's see what he had to say about this team finding a way to win.
Good win. I mean, all wins are good wins. The guys, they kept fighting, kept scrapping, gave up some plays. didn't have a lot of success in different times, weren't consistent at times, but then found a way at the end to get what we needed.
That's Coach Key on his way to Athens this week, and they get a week to work out and prepare for the game and putting some teeth back into the rivalry, right?
These dudes might just smack Georgia around. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm like sitting here inching the soap. Should I say it loud? They might just do it. Given the season that we have talked about at the quarterback position with Georgia, and you don't know which guy you're going to get, he's always on a high wire. Except yesterday was okay, but, you know, talk for a minute. I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to just say Georgia Tech's going to get this done.
We're going to see. I mean, that's the amazing thing. If they have to go with a guy with Aaron Filo as the starter, going up against a quarterback that a lot of people had as a Heisman Trophy candidate when the season began in Carson Beck. And, you know, you've seen him be spectacular, and you've seen him, you know, as you said, frustrate you, make you want to walk out in front of a martyr bus. But that's the thing.
Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame is, so far, I think, the upset of the year as far as the big boys. Would this trump that?
What?
Georgia Tech beat? No, man.
Tech beat an undefeated Miami team.
I'm ready to say that.
Yeah,
I'm ready to say that I think Georgia Tech will win. I'm not putting money on it.
We'll have time this week if people join. By the way, if you join us this week, you'll get perspectives on both. Chad Bishop from AJC, who covers Georgia Tech, will join us Thursday morning, and Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation will join us Friday morning to get you ready for clean old fashioned hate Friday night. Doggone it! While high school playoffs are going on, that's all from me.
Yeah, in Vegas and Kansas City, you're playing. What you can hear on WAOK. It's Sam and Greg. We have got a radio replay for you up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg. Hey, ask how y'all doing. I got two people I just asked a question to, and they're not paying attention because they are dancing, literally dancing in the studios of that song. Noel ain't paying that one bit of attention to me, and Sam is, he looked like, what's his name, Pigpen and Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
he got his head bopping. He ain't listening to me. It's the holidays, so I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you.
We'll be here all week.
That's right. Not mad at you at all. Going to explain how Al Michaels was traded. Today was a very famous day in broadcast history, and we're going to, not today, but something that happened this past week got me reminded of it. Okay. Also want to say happy birthday to former commissioner Paul Tagliabue.
Okay.
Happy birthday to him. Mm-hmm. And Dave Bing.
Okay. Okay.
You basketball fans, especially you mm-hmm. Pistons, will know who mm-hmm. I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. All right. Tell you what we're going to do. A little something special here. We had some requests for this. We're going to talk football, but we're not going to do the talking. We're going to turn things over to Dukes and Bell. They regularly talk to Bryant McFadden, mm-hmm. former player with the Steelers, but he is now in this business, in the broadcast business, and with CBS. And they talk to him on a regular basis, talking the NFL. This past week, they did so. So here's Bryant McFadden joining Dukes and Bell right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with a radio replay.
Hey, man, let's talk to BMAC. Bryant McFadden, co-host of All Things Covered. Podcast is amazing and also CBS NFL analyst. BMAC, always good to have you on the show. All right, give me your thoughts of last night, man. I thought offensively the struggles were there, but why are they putting Justin in those times where I think they need to leave Russ in? I'm still having a hard time with the timing of some of this, even though I think they're trying to figure out and have some creativity.
Well, my initial thoughts about last night's game is that that's why you don't play with your food. That's exactly why in the game of football, when you're the more superior, talented team, you go out and take care of business. Do not play with your food, because you will allow a team like the Cleveland Browns to gain confidence and eventually believe they can win the ball game. Cleveland got off to a fast start. Pittsburgh did not. Second half, when Pittsburgh started to get things going, they also had to deal with Mother Nature. Didn't have enough time. They had to fight from behind. That's not a good situation to be in when you're on the road. And you guys saw that firsthand weeks ago when Atlanta went on the road against New Orleans Saints. You do not play with your food. So when it comes to moving forward outside of that, Justin Fields at that time, they were trying to find a way to get something going offensively. So I don't actually have an issue with how they inserted Justin Fields in the game. I have more of an issue. Why wasn't he more involved in red zone? because you were stagnant in the red zone. When you look at Cleveland Browns last week, they could not stop Taysom Hill in the red zone.
Right.
And the thing about Taysom Hill, he kind of provides the same element that Justin Fields can provide in the red zone. He can become a plus one in the running game, and you can't account for him, and he still can make throws, red zone-like throws. So when they inserted Justin Fields, it actually helped the offense because that led to that scoring drive in the second half. But then you look at other moments where they were stagnant in the red zone, there lies an opportunity to bring a guy like Justin Fields in the game to see if he can give the same like production that Taysom Hill gave the New Orleans Saints against the Cleveland Browns over a week ago.
Yeah, I had to laugh watching some of that game this morning on NFL Network on the replay in the red zone running the reverse with Cordarrelle Patterson. It's like, well, that's
exactly.
That's not going to work. By the way, man, Myles Garrett, they didn't trade Myles Garrett because that's a talent. You know, I guess, you know, because they don't go anywhere. We don't get to see them very much. But I was just telling Carl, I know, like, Captain Obvious here, but Myles Garrett is just one of the most unbelievable physical specimens. And then 3 sacks last night, just a force, throwing bodies around like he's like Thor.
Man, Myles Garrett is one of those dudes where he wasn't really birthed. He was created. You know, most of us are born. We're birthed. He was created. He was put together at some factory, and they were like, we need to create a legit defensive end prospect. That's where he was created. And he put forth one of his best performances in a game where he was going against, it's kind of like his arch nemesis in T.J. Watt, two guys that have been highly respected in the National Football League as elite pass rushers, and he wanted to go out and show that he is a high-level guy, if not the guy, and his play backed his statement. And not to mention, the most important thing, they won. Myles Garrett controlled the game in the first half. And that led to a fast start by the Cleveland Browns. They did a better job, Pittsburgh, against Myles Garrett in the second half. But in the first half, did you forget that he is a guy who is one of one and you should not allow him to have one-on-one opportunities? Look at TJ. He was double-teamed in and out by Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh should have had that same mindset offensively. This is the guy who's not going to beat us.
Yeah, does it give you reason to pause for the Steelers just from an offensive standpoint? Struggles last week, struggles this week. We talk about the Falcons, similar kind of deal. It's been 2 weeks in a row where you're like, okay, why are we struggling? Why can't we get anything going?
No, it's not giving me a reason to pause. I'm not overly concerned because, you know, to the question about how stagnant the offense was for Pittsburgh, in the second half they played better in bad conditions. You know, that post route that Russell threw to Calvin Austin was a thing of beauty. You know, he was still pushing the football down the football field. Now, the concern that I have for the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is red zone, right? They were 1-3 in the red zone. That's not winning football. You cannot settle for field goals and thinking you're going to beat good teams. Heck, you can't beat bad teams if you're settling for field goals. So that's the thing that I would love to see become more productive, more, you know, consistent. And you guys know about this, when Arthur Smith was in Atlanta last year, he had some red zone issues as well. So now you got to find a way to get creative and capitalize on those touchdown opportunities.
It is our man, Brian McFadden. Catch his podcast, by the way, with Patrick Peterson, All Things Covered. He joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline as we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. A couple of games this weekend. A bunch of teams on a bye, including us, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Jacksonville Jets are out as well. But we do have some games involving the Chargers. Now, we're going to see the Chargers here coming up out of the bye. Talk about that defense, Bryant, because Jim Harbaugh, I know I mentioned his name. A lot of guys are literally going, no, screaming at me like I'm a nitwit. Well, I get that a lot. But Harbaugh and what he's done with the Chargers is pretty darn impressive.
No question. Coach Harbaugh was born to coach football. That's it. He has the personality that players gravitate to. They trust him. They believe that he is going to put them in position to be successful. And he has turned around an organization in a way in which we thought it would take time. Now, when you talk about his defense, that's a very, very stout, feisty defense. And they don't really blow you away with their numbers, but when you look at the final box score, they dominate it. And we're going to get a real good test for the Chargers this week. Heck, we just got a test from them last week because I felt like that was a statement game against Cincinnati. Yes, Cincinnati was a few games below 500, but that's an offense. If you're not careful, they can win a ball game for you. And the thing that I love about the Chargers, we've been talking about their defense, but now Justin Herbert is now throwing it around the yard. Early in the year, September, it was about running the football, playing good defense. Now Justin Herbert is implementing a passing game in a high clip for their team, which has provided a sense of balance. And old Ladd McConkey, you know, the former Bulldog, He's really become the wide receiver one for them as well. And it's nice to see the relationship that he's established with his quarterback and Justin Herbert. So you talked about the Chargers, who's up next for Atlanta. This is another game when you talk about what Atlanta has faced off against. Teams that are really playing with a lot of confidence, teams that have really good defense, because you look at the defense that Atlanta saw last outing against the Denver Broncos, the Chargers will present some of the same challenges that the Broncos defense presented to Kirk Cousins. So this is a very, very difficult stretch for Atlanta because you have a nice lead in your division, but Tampa is starting to get healthy, and Tampa has an easy stretch the rest of the way if you look at the rest of their schedule.
B-Mac, there's something new that's going on in the NFL, at least over the last few years, and we haven't seen it. Teams have always taken the cap hit, eaten the dead money, but they usually waited. You go back, Derek Carr, benched, injury guarantee, we're not going to risk it. Russell Wilson, benched, injury guarantee, we're not going to risk it. And we saw the Giants do it. And then today, the Giants, to Daniel Jones' request, released him. This is the new NFL, isn't it? When these quarterbacks and these contracts are so big and they're not working out, this gives a team an opportunity to get out of it without having to pay this additional money.
Yes, but also, too, Carl and Mike, it puts more of an emphasis on the individuals that are okay in these contracts. The thing about the Giants situation, I believe Brian Daboll is a really, really good coach. Unfortunately, He doesn't have the troops that he needs to go to war with. But who made that possible? Joe Shane. Remember in Hard Knocks, the offseason version with the New York Giants, Joe Shane stood on a table and vouched for Daniel Jones, stood on the table and said, we're going to add pieces. We're going to let Saquon walk and let him go out and find his market. But I believe it's best that we build pieces around Daniel Jones so we can get the best Daniel Jones and be the best team that we can be. And guess what? The owner was like, I'm going to have a hard time sleeping if Saquon happens to go to Philly. Well, that actually happened. He hasn't slept since.
Right.
Clearly, he got bags underneath his eyes because he hasn't slept since that happened. And Saquon is once again balling. Philadelphia looks like a really, really good team with Saquon. And you just released a quarterback who you gave over $60 million to 2.5 years ago. And you're still losing ball games. So that's the thing. It's like, I got a question, guys. I'm not a GM. You two are not a GM either. But when Daniel Jones came out of Duke, I said he wasn't even the best quarterback in the ACC.
Yep.
So why would you take him top 10 and try to make him something that he's never been? That doesn't make any sense. So for the Giants, they're resetting their clock all over again. Think about that. Right. You know what I mean? So it's going to be some dog years for the Giants, and hopefully they can rectify the issue sooner than later. But this has been an ultimate debacle, and unfortunately for Joe Shane, because of that Hard Knocks offseason, we actually saw who made the decisions and how it all panned out.
Yep. I was just saying yesterday, Brian, I mean, he should probably get the gate just like the Jets GM. I'd fire him yesterday. By the way, to Carl's point, Giants take on $47.1 million in dead money this year, $22.2 next year. So by releasing him, the Giants free up $19.4 in cap space next year. So they can try to do something.
And get this, Carl and Mike. You gave $5 million to Drew Locke, who you demoted to be
the
third-string quarterback. Exactly. That $5 million could have went to maybe Saquon. You could have found a way to negotiate that $5 million that you give to Drew Locke, who's not playing, and you should have told Daniel Jones, man, this is what we need to do is kind of find a way to move your contract around to be able to keep a guy like Saquon, because if Daniel Jones was smart, he would have said, I'm a better quarterback if I have Saquon. You know who's a better quarterback with Saquon? Jalen Hurts. Look how that working out.
Right. Hey, by the way, keep it in New York. Would you release Aaron Rodgers if you're the Jets at the end of the year?
No question. I think that would be the best thing, but I don't think the owner would okay that. I think when you look at what Aaron Rodgers has done since being there, and I'm not saying he personally had Robert Saleh fired. I'm not saying that. But look at all the moves that happened because he really wanted them to happen. Remember they brought in Randall Cobb the first year. Randall Cobb was towards the end of his career, didn't have anything left. They brought him in. They gave Alan Lazardo with $30 million. Because why? Aaron Rodgers wanted him in, right? Davante Adams, he brought him in finally. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers wanted him in. So when you look at everything that they obliged to with Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to play, I think they would keep him on the roster, which probably wouldn't be a good thing because the dead money and cap that goes to him, you can't bring in any other guys. And if he isn't good in 2024, why would you think he would be a better quarterback in 2025?
Yeah, he's not. I agree. This is not going to get better. And despite the fact that he's gotten everything that he's wanted there with the Jets. B-Mac, man, great job as always. We got to run. Enjoy the games this weekend. And we'll look forward to our visit next week.
All right, thank you for having me.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It was a radio replay. I thought we were going, that's live radio. What are you gonna? Don't worry, we'll edit all this out. You guys won't hear it. Anyway, we got some unfinished business before we turn things over to Mr. John Freaky coming up at the top of the hour. And again, it has to do with Al Michaels. There was a big announcement this past week having to do with inside the NBA and what those guys, Ernie and Chuck and Kenny and Shaq, we're going to be doing. They're going to be out of work. Well, no, ESPN swooped in, and they will take them, just them, from TNT and have them on their basketball platforms this upcoming season. It reminded me of something that happened similar to that some years ago. We're going to talk about that up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The near post, and it's parried off the line. McGlinchey, rebound, score! TRA! It's 2-0 to Atlanta! The initial ball was flicked on and parried off the line by an off-balance Galesse. The rebound is slammed home. Atlanta's got a 2-0 lead.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And when I think Mike Conti, musically, the first thing I think of is Kool Moe Dee.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wish. Anyway, as we are getting ready to turn things over to Mr. Freaky, John Freaky, top of the hour, sit here on this Sunday where the Falcons are off. We've been talking NFL, all kinds of football. Are y'all done doing a line dance? So I'm trying to do a show with two other folks and they ain't here. Knowing I'm doing this, yeah, they just wilding out.
We'll be here all week.
Oh, we get that. Don't we'll do it all day. Speaking of insignificant information.
Yeah, man.
What today was the day my mother's favorite football player.
Mm-hmm.
Got his roses.
Okay.
Today was Jim Plunkett's day. He was awarded the Heisman Trophy on this day.
Yeah.
And Jim Plunkett, I believe the first Native American Heisman Trophy winner.
I believe so, yeah. And you know what? He's a great example of, as we look at what's happening with Bryce Young up here in Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
of a guy who got the Heisman Trophy and was that high draft pick to a team that was terrible.
Oh, man.
And he just took a pummeling up there.
Yeah, he did.
And he had to evolve and find his way to the right situation.
Two rings later.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody, I said to people who follow Alabama and then follow Bryce Young, yeah, he went into a dysfunctional situation, didn't have things to work with around him, and it's still dysfunctional up there in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But we know what this guy did in college. You know, but he came out of the ideal situation. You can't get much better situation than coming out with Nick Saban and the high school program that came out in California. But Jim Plunkett is that example, man, that, yeah. You know, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback usually goes to a team that is awful.
Yeah.
That is awful. And if they survive that, if they can survive it long enough, some of them may thrive. But that's why we've seen so few Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks in Super Bowls. We've only seen about four or five. And think of all the guys who won Heisman Trophies and that become class. One was at the High School Hall of Fame with Charlie Ward. He decided to go play basketball.
I was just going to say the best.
Right, right. So I'm saying,
that was the joke for the longest time. You know, he played point guard.
But you know what, though?
Best football player in New York.
You got to think about the timing, though,
yeah.
And what his capabilities were. And were coordinators ready for that? They weren't.
Well, he also was going to get guaranteed money as opposed to NFL money.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that too. But And I never really had a chance to really talk with him about that, but I mean, we chatted for a little bit when he was here for the High School Hall of Fame, but that's true. And Plunkett is a great example of just hanging in there, man, getting to the right situation.
Anyway, this is also a day in history, and I'm not going to do a deep dive into this. You guys need to go Google this and find out. But this is a day that you can't tell the history of this country without mentioning what happened on this day in 1963. Lee Harvey Oswald was killed.
Yep.
And we just leave it at that.
Yep.
And why that's
we know
news?
What happens a couple of days
Two
ago.
Days before that. That's right.
That's my dad's birthday. It's 22nd.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, Kennedy.
Was there not a time when kids got that day off in school? I could swear the 22nd of November.
No.
I could swear there was some sort of thing that happened. This is, by the way, for you don't know, that was the day that JFK was assassinated. And
I'm young enough to remember the days following that, how we just, there was nothing on TV but a flag draped coffin.
Wow, really?
That was all that was on TV. Any channel you turned to, that's all that was on for about 3-4 days.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So that happened on this day, but I'm going to bring it back a little bit more positive. You know, you heard of a guy named Earl Williams? If you've been in Atlanta for a while. Earl Williams, baseball player.
Yeah, catcher.
Dang.
Rookie of the year.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Today was the day he got the rookie. Yeah. I never heard of this dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a catcher and an infielder.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last person I knew that was Craig Biggio.
Okay.
Did that for Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Catch.
How you do them two? I mean.
Well, you catch him in first base. He was catching first base.
Okay, yeah. But then you get
Joe Torre, who was catcher, in third base.
That's the hard one. He must have went from third base to catcher because you can't get up with them bad knees.
Torrey was catcher first.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Murphy too. Murphy was
a catcher. I remember
was
that.
A catcher
he went
with
to
the outfield.
Yeah, he went to the outfield. He got the rest of knees.
Yeah, you know, but Earl Williams went from catching and playing some first base, but Torrey went from catcher to third.
Good for Joe. Good for Joe. All right, I'm going to save mine for a minute. I know there were some things you wanted to get to.
No, I mean, just the fact that, you know, we heard the Mac. You know, we heard Mike Conte's call.
Right.
And you want to remind everybody what's coming up later on today.
Well, if you can't get in front of a TV, Atlanta United at Orlando, pre-kick at 2:30, kick at 3:30.
Yeah.
And we not only will we have that for you, but we got Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia at the Rams, pre-kick at 7:30, kick at 8 o'clock. By the way, tomorrow, Hawks at Dallas. That's pre-tip at 7 o'clock, tip at 7:30. And we will have Monday Night Football, Baltimore at the Chargers, the Harbaugh Bowl. I ain't had them guys together since Super Bowl something. The Beyonce Super Bowl.
Beyonce had the performance that made the lights go out, right?
Knocked the lights out.
She's
going to do that. She can do it again Thursday night, right?
Let's see if she can do that again.
Wait, but did y'all hear about Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas night. That's what I'm saying. She's doing that. That's Jay-Z flexing his muscles again because he's catching so much you-know-what because of the Super Bowl decision. He's going to have his wife do that. And again, putting her on a stage that Taylor Swift, by the way, has owned for the last year and a half. So he wants to put his wife up there on that stage.
This is all about a Cowboy Carter rollout, and Netflix is not going to be ready. It's going to crash.
Ooh.
It's going to crash.
It's going to be huge.
they already had drama with the Tyson fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you want to do a night game on Christmas and sprinkle Beyonce on top? Yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Boom.
He dropped the mic on that. All right, you guys want to hear this story?
What you got?
About Al Michaels. I said this earlier when we talked about our story of the week. Inside the NBA has been picked up by ESPN. So Charles Kenny, Ernie, and Shaq won't have to have a telethon for them. They'll continue to work. And they're going to be under the ESPN umbrella for this basketball season. And when that happened, it reminded me of what happened in the early 2000s. When NBC acquired the NFL and they got Sunday Night Football, and there was a discussion between ESPN and NBC about talent because John Madden didn't want to go. It was Al Michaels and John Madden doing Monday Night Football. Madden did not want to go and switch. He had already done that from CBS. He loved working with Al.
Yeah.
Well, they're
on CBS to Fox.
Right. Yeah, the Fox. That's true.
Yeah.
And so Al's contract was not done with ABC. John Madden's was. And anyway, there was all kinds of things that happened behind the scenes, and it turned out that the crew from ABC was going to be moving over to NBC, so Madden said, all right, I'll go. But there was the matter of Al Michaels, what to do. So one was going to, you know, it was along with also Mike Tirico. He was also going over. Joe Theismann.
Okay.
They were going to be doing some things over at NBC. Which, by the way, if you remember, that was the beginning of the end of Bob Costas, when Mike Tirico went over there. So they're trying to figure out, because John Madden, and this doesn't happen if it's not John Madden, who wants his regular partner with him. So calls were made, discussions were going on, and it got down to the closers. The closers being the guys in the corner offices. A call was made from Disney CEO Bob Iger to Dick Ebersol, Well, first there was another guy, and then it ended up in Dick Ebersol's office. But basically, Bob Iger said, I tell you what, who, you know, Disney owns ABC. We will let you have Al Michaels back, but we would like something from you. And obviously, he says, well, what do you need? He says, we want Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever heard of that? Noel, come in here if you can. You ever heard of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit?
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Isn't that Disney's, the first?
There you go.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, Noel, I'm telling you. This is, and nobody ever heard of this until this played out, but Walt Disney's original, and this is not the company. This is literally Walt Disney.
Disney, right.
His personal drawing of what turned, what eventually become Mickey Mouse was Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And he had that tucked away in some drawer, and it was a part of a package that was sold to NBC for whatever, I don't know, but NBC owned the rights. And I guess they might have used this Lucky Rabbit in something way back in the day. We're talking about the 20s, right? So Bob Iger says this to Dick Ebersol, and as it's written here, Dick Ebersol goes, who the hell is Oswald the Lucky Rabbit? They figure out who it is, and he tells them the story, and the Disney family would like that back if possible. And if you do this for me, you can have Al Michaels. And that's how it happened. Al Michaels left ABC to go to Sunday Night for Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. The Lucky Rabbit, which was the original drawing.
And we still ain't seen him. Have we seen Oswald the Lucky Rabbit?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can look him up. You've seen him.
Oh, but have they rolled him out and put him in production?
Oh, no, I don't know.
They're just sitting on him, huh?
It's kind of like Mona Lisa. Like, you put him up on a wall, a picture up on a wall. You don't put him in a cartoon. But yeah, man, I never heard this before. But this announcer's being traded for pieces of property like this. And apparently, It's the Disney folks. They got it all. What are you going to give the Disney folks? Well, Granddaddy's drawing, we want that back, and the rights to do this and that with Oswald. So that's how Al Michaels ended up in NBC.
Wow.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. But the funniest part about all this is everybody at NBC is like, who the hell is Oswald?
The rabbit,
right?
A pivotal piece in that. Noel, before we go, we talked about in the top, we were going to mention something about the changing of the minds this week from going to Southern Cal to Colorado. I mean, you have a thought on what happened with Mr. Lewis this week out in Carrollton. A lot of people, he decommitted from Southern Cal, said Georgia and Indiana were in the mix, but he chose Colorado instead. And I got some thoughts about it. What's yours?
It seems like a perfect storm of recency bias. You know, they're really popular right now. You got Prime there. You're seeing what Shadur is doing. You have some other programs that might be a little too bright. You know, you may not want to have to wait as long to do some things. You know, I mean, there seem to be some rhyme and reason behind it.
Everybody's talking about money. Now, this is a kid who's already got money. You know, he is like the poster child for high school NIL.
Which means they can make completely different decisions now, right?
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be focused on
absolutely.
Or not focused on today's money. Like,
right.
We can be focused on money from, you know, 18 years from now.
And that's exactly what my point with this is. He don't want to go to a crowded quarterback room either at Southern Cal or at Georgia, where he's going to have to wait and compete for the job. He'll walk right into the starting job at Colorado. And the other thing is, you know, there's no pressure to win a national championship. I'm sure he and his family saw how Carson Beck has been hammered this season, just practically hammered this season when he goes out and has a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won't have to deal with that in Colorado. He goes out there and he wins. They make him a contender for the conference championship. Everybody's going to be happy because where was Colorado a couple of years ago? So
right.
I'm just saying he's going to a situation where he's going to get max visibility, less pressure, get him a good position coach to sharpen him for what's to come. And I think that's what they decided to go with.
And honestly, that's what I wanted Justin Fields to do when he came out. Instead, he went to a crowded quarterback room and had to transfer and all the extra stuff. So you're kind of looking at that early and trying to avoid it, which is probably a good idea.
If he gets in position to contend for a national championship while he's there, then all well and good. But right now, he ain't going to go in and face that pressure going in. He can go in and just develop. And, like, he's going to be on a reality TV show or whatever else they have, as long as Coach Prime is there. I think that's what's driving that position. Anyway, he's got to play some more football. He's got Hillgrove coming up Friday night in the Elite Eight of the high school state playoffs. We'll be talking about that this week when we're around in the morning. You'll be here with us, right?
Sure will.
Yeah, she's going to be with us.
Okay.
She's going to be with us.
All right.
Lucky Luciano, the 12th president of the United States, Zachary Taylor, Pete Best, the guy who's still kicking himself for not taking the job with the Beatles, and Damon Evans, the second Lionel Jefferson.
Okay.
Remember when they switched Lionel Jeffersons?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's him. That was Damon Evans, and they were celebrating birthdays today. And I wanted to leave you with, what was it?
I don't know.
Noel, Sam, the only team in the NBA, still using their original logo. There is only one team using the original logo when they join the league. Who is that team? Well, it's the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right.
You guys have a great day. John Frankie's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.